hear the voice of God. My passion is to hear the word of the Lord. Because once upon a time, I found myself in darkness going the wrong way. I was a rebellious teenager looking for meaning and purpose in life. And as I was looking for meaning and purpose in life, I got wrapped up into some garbage called the occult. And a friend of a friend introduced me to some stuff that I got involved with that before you know it, I started going deeper and deeper and deeper into the cult because somehow there was a promise of power in that. But praise God that when I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 16 years old, I encountered the power of Jesus Christ at the altar. And the power of Jesus Christ opened my eyes to the reality of the Christian walk. See, when I got saved, I grew up in a church where we were in church 6 days a week. Oh, you better believe it. Why do I got to go to church on Thursday? It's Thursday already. This is nothing. We grew up in a church where we were there 6 days a week. And on the seventh, we were told what to do and what not to do. It was a very strict church. And we went. We did it. So when I got saved at the age of 16, I told the Lord, Lord, if I get lost, if I die of boredom in church, so be it. I've gave my life to you. And I thought being a Christian meant you sit in a building and you die of boredom. And I was willing to do it until I had an encounter with the power of God. And I thought, wow, it's not about just sitting in a building. It's about knowing a God of power. And it's been 26 years that I've been walking with the Lord. And my passion is still the same, to know the voice of God, to know God. Not to know God to say, I just heard the Lord. It's to know God so that I can obey the voice of God. We serve a God who's a very in-your-face God. God isn't way up there and you're way down here and he's treating you at an arm's length. No, no, no. God knows absolutely every detail about your life. That's the God that we serve. And it's awesome to serve a God that way because I absolutely love it. God knows everything about you. And he wants to speak to anything that's a concern in your life. It's a concern for him. So he wants to speak to you about that. So we serve a communicating God. I heard a story once that really impacted me. And I'll tell you that in a moment. But first, I was talking about how much I appreciate my prophetic people and the prophetic and hearing the voice of God. And, you know, God, the Lord gave 5 leaders to the church. He gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, Ephesians 4:11. He gave these 5 awesome leaders. These were 5 leadership anointings that Jesus walked in. And when he ascended on high, he gave of those 5 leadership anointings to the church so that we can operate in those 5 leadership anointings. So the teacher is a leader, but he's not just a leader to lord over you. The teacher is a servant leader. The teacher called by Jesus is called to help you learn the word, to help you learn how to teach the word to others. The pastor is not a pastor just to lord over you. The pastor is a servant leader. He is to care for you and to teach you how to be pastoral and so on and so forth. The evangelist, what does he do? He wins souls for Christ. But he doesn't just win souls for Christ. He's a servant leader. He serves the body of Christ, teaching and equipping you how to go out there and how to do it. The prophet is the same thing. The prophet isn't one who just thus says the Lord. The prophet equips and teaches God's people how to hear the voice of God, how to stir up their prophetic anointing. And the apostle as well is one who teaches God's people in the apostolic. Well, why do I say all that? Because maybe in this day and age, you've heard people say that they have a ministry called as a prophet. Maybe that's kind of ruffled your feathers a little bit. Who does he think he is? Elijah? Daniel? This is a very valid ministry today. It says so in Ephesians 4:11. Some people, and it's the ministry call God has given me, but it's not to walk around with a title. It's so that I can take a higher level of servanthood. I'm called to serve. Prophets are called to serve. They're not called to, No, no, no. Prophets are called to serve. How are we equipping? I have a mantle and a call from God to help God's people step into a place where they could learn how to hear the voice of God. So you could consider me a coach in the body of Christ, a prophetic coach. How to hear from God, how to understand the gifts of the Spirit and stir up that anointing. And that's what we're aiming to do. I'm excited about our prophetic boot camps. God is opening so many doors for us where we're just going different places and offering prophetic trainings and boot camps. And we're getting lots of calls at our ministry office. More churches are wanting and requesting prophetic training for their congregation. Amen. It's the time we're living in, because it was prophesied that in the end times, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. How many of you have flesh in this room tonight? Some of us have more than what we want, right? But we have flesh. And if you have flesh, that means you qualify. You qualify for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And what that means is we're living in the end times. A sign of the end times is that God is going to speak even more. This is not a time for us to stand and say, I don't hear from God. This is a time for us to say, Lord, open my ears and teach me how to hear from you. When we first get married, we need to learn each other's language very quickly. My wife and I talk about our fourth month. After the honeymoon, everything was great during the honeymoon. But after the honeymoon, month number four, she started kicking me out. I started kicking her out. Something happened. We realized, who is this person I moved in with? And quickly, we had to develop a communication language. We had to get real with one another. Stop all the fakeness and really get to a place where we can connect and communicate and work through those issues. So praise God, 17 years later, here we are. We get saved at the altar, and we love the sermons that are being preached, but we forget that we're marrying Jesus. We're becoming one with him, and in order to become one with him, we have to learn how to communicate with him. We need to learn his language, and Jesus gets down and to our level. He begins to communicate. He gets in our face. He begins to talk to us in many different ways about what we need to do, how we need to do it, what season we're in, where we're supposed to go, and how we're supposed to get there. And if we don't understand his language, we won't know what he's saying. We'll miss everything that God is saying to us. Could you imagine how frustrated God gets? The many times he puts things before us to speak a word to us, and because we don't know that God is speaking to us, we walk right by it. As his children, we are called to be prophetic. We are called to know the voice of the Lord. We are called to understand that God is speaking a word to us every day. I say this over and over and over every time I preach. Today, God put something in front of you to talk to you. Today. Because he's an active God, and every day God communicates a word to us. Now, whether we caught it or not, that falls on us. But the Lord is very active in communicating a word to us. So tonight, as I was praying over this meeting tonight, I thought, Lord, what would you have me share? And I felt the Lord put in my heart to just share with you very quickly about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I heard a story about a man who wanted to come to America. And he didn't have enough money. So he scraped up all that he could, and it took him absolutely everything to gather enough to buy a ticket on a cruise liner to come to America. He had not one penny left, but he got the ticket and he made it on the ship. So he was able to gather up some bread in a bag and hold on to it and get on the steam liner. So there he was, very excited that he was coming to America. And on the trip to America, you know, here and there he would get hungry and he'd open his bag and he'd eat the bread that he put in the bag. And as he was walking around the ship one day, he came across a very elegant, luxurious room. And when he looked inside that room, he saw people in there dining, and they were dining very well. And he thought, wow, that looks delicious. That's some good eating. I wish I could sit in there. I wish I could have that food. But I didn't have the money to pay for the ticket that includes the meal. So therefore, I'm just happy that I'm going to America. You know what? I'm fine with my bread. And he just kept eating his bread. And one day the captain stopped him on the ship and said, young man, come over here. I see that I've seen you almost every day walking around the ship and you're digging in that bag and you're eating a bunch of moldy bread. Why are you doing that? And the young man explained to the captain. He said, captain, you know, I just wanted to get to America. I didn't have enough money. So I scraped enough just to buy the basic ticket to get to America. I didn't have enough to buy for the meals. And the captain kind of laughed and said, well, didn't you know the meals were included? Didn't you know the meals were included? So here's this young man just happy that he, and by the way, I just finished coming out of something that came on me, a week of being home. Praise God, I'm well. Here's a young man who is happy that he made it to He was on his way to America. He didn't care about what came with the ticket. Many of us are the same way. All we say is we're getting to heaven. That's all we care about. We're getting to heaven. We don't realize that there are resources that God has put in our hands that come along with our salvation package. Did you know that right now, because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have something that God has given you? It's part of your salvation package. God didn't just save you. He gave you everything you have need of so that you could be successful in your ministry call. Absolutely everything. So therefore, sometimes we're at the altar, Lord, I want power. Lord, I want to be used. Lord, I want to give me, Lord, give me more anointing. Give me power. You have it. Jesus isn't going to come down and die on the cross again. When he said, it is finished, guess what that meant? It is finished. Everything you have need of has already been provided. Already. It's in your spirit in seed form. I think that's where we get caught up. It's in seed form. You know what happens with seeds, right? We've got to take a seed. A seed has to be sown. A seed has to be watered. A seed has to be nurtured. A seed has to be cared for. A seed has to be looked after. So that with time and persistence, eventually that seed starts budding and growing. From a seed to a little bud, to a little plant, a little tree, and now you have a beautiful, elegant tree. So on and so forth. But it takes care to grow it from seed form to the final product. The anointing that God has given you requires attention. You can't let it sit there. And coming to church on Thursdays and Sundays isn't enough. When we say yes to Christ, we say yes to the call of God in our lives. Now you got to roll up your sleeves and you're the farmer. All the seeds that God has put in you in seed form, you've got to go after that. It's time to water the seed. It's time to begin to pour the water on the seed. Give the seed some sunshine. Care for the seed. Tend the seed so that it can grow into the full anointing that God's put on your life. I have a scripture for you. Hebrews chapter 5. You're going to love this verse. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. You with me there? Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongs to those that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between both good and evil. Common sense, strong meat belongs to the mature. We know that, right? You're not going to give a steak to a baby. You've got to develop your teeth. And then after you develop your teeth, you've got to develop your chewing, and you got to understand how much to chew, how much to take in. That takes time to develop. You don't give a steak to a kid, something that can choke them. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, those who are mature, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Do you know, let me tell you this. Hector, what are you getting at? To hear the voice of God, to develop your anointing, you can develop that by exercising your anointing. Now, I lost weight 2 years ago, kept it off, praise God. I eliminated weight. I'm not looking for it. It's gone. And I know God's doing that with a lot of people in the body of Christ. When I was turning 40 years old, the Lord prophesied to me when I was in Starbucks. Now, that was a miracle. I'm sorry. I love you, Pastor Marty, but I don't like Starbucks. Sorry. But I love you, though. You're going to pray for me? Okay, pray for me. I'm a Dunkin' Donuts coffee guy. I'm sorry. But on this miraculous occasion, I met a friend at Starbucks for coffee. And as I was standing there, I was kind of thinking, man, I'm turning 40 this year. And it was like, ugh. And then when I looked over, there was a huge banner. And Starbucks was introducing their new logo. And it was half of the old logo, half of the new logo. And I stood there looking at that going, huh, it's a new logo. And all of a sudden I looked underneath and I saw the numbers, 1971. I said, that's the year I was born, 1971 to 2011. And I thought, huh, that's this year. And then I stepped back further, and I realized it was a huge banner. I didn't see the full design, and there was a huge number 40. And when I saw that, then I realized what it said. It said, turning 40 never looked so good. I thought, wow. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, you're sad because you're turning 40. He says, your best is yet ahead. Really? Could there be something that's best beyond 40? And the Lord says, oh, have you seen nothing yet? So we begin to see the faithfulness of the Lord, of how God has just begun to shift things around and turn things around in our lives. And it seems like in the body of Christ, that Pastor Galtier from Buffalo shared with me that the Lord told him that when he was turning 60. God just did a work in him as well. So it's awesome to get a vision to make a change. But that word sounded great. But then in December, the Holy Spirit woke me up one morning and said, go to the gym. I was like, oh, Satan, you know, and the Lord, it's not the, go to the gym. Got up, went to the gym, and it took a process. And it's still a process. I mean, I'm still not there. But it took a process, a daily process. I don't miss a day. There I am every day. What am I doing? I'm exercising. I have the goal of what I see in my mind's eye, of what I want to look like, of what I want to be. And I'm going after the daily routine of exercising, of getting there. Some of you have a ministry call. And you have an anointing that God has put on your life. And you're waiting for something for it to pop up like popcorn. Poop. There, I got it. It doesn't work that way. And the Lord sent me here tonight to tell you, wake up and go to the gym. Stir up the anointing. It's time to exercise the anointing. It's time to exercise the anointing. It doesn't just happen. We look at people that move in the anointing. We think, wow, someday I want to be like that. Not if you don't exercise, you won't. The first time my pastor said, tonight, when I was a new believer, he says, next week we have Brother Hector preaching the word. I thought, oh, I'd never preached the word before. And I stood there, and after I got what I was going to preach on, I stood under an open heaven. I mean, God was flowing powerfully through me. I preached with such an anointing for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, I heard the door of heaven go. And I stood there, Then the next time I spoke, it was maybe 15 minutes, and then maybe 20 minutes. And slowly but surely, I was able to begin to exercise the ability to speak in front of people. Now you got to give me a time limit or I'll keep going. Because I love talking about the Lord. When I first started prophesying, I've been prophesying for 26 years. When I first started, I didn't even know what I was doing. But the Lord would give me words for people. And in my ignorance, you know, I would just share whatever I got. Some of it was good. Some of it, I didn't share it wisely. It took me time to develop that anointing and exercise the anointing. Part of the reason why Pastor Marty felt that way about the prophetic is that there are people that haven't fully come to age with their prophetic anointing. And they've stepped out in churches, and in their immaturity, they've used the gift for wrong reasons. It doesn't have to be like that anymore. Thank God for prophets, prophetic coaches who train God's people how to use the prophetic in a safe way, in a way that's decently and in order, that brings life to the church. If you're called to be prophetic and your pastor has you on a blacklist, something's wrong. You are your pastor's, you should be your pastor's best friend. Your pastor should say, praise God. I'm so grateful that the Lord sent this person to my church. That is someone who operates accurately in a prophetic anointing. They speak life, but we have to understand the purpose of the gift. So the anointing has to be exercised. The anointing has to be practiced. You know, we used to think that someone would just get saved and all of a sudden they had a perfect anointing. It doesn't work that way. We have to exercise it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible talks about gifts of the Spirit. I want to give you a quick little rundown. I'm not going to go into an in-depth teaching because I've got about 8 more minutes before we go into ministry time. So if I encourage you to take some notes and take it very quickly. I'm going to drop something on you tonight. Some of you may know this already. Write it anyway. It's good refresher. It's not for head knowledge. It's so that you can begin to exercise the anointing. You have power. The devil does not want you to know and understand the power that you have in your spirit. Because a believer that understands his anointing, her anointing, rises up in that anointing and begins to use that anointing will do damage in the kingdom of darkness. So the enemy works overtime to keep us sleeping in the church. But I'm here to tell you, you have power. You have anointing. It's one of the things I'm training my two girls. I want them to know that the prophetic is not a dirty word. I want my daughters to know that the prophetic is not an odd thing, that the prophetic is not just for this one and that one, but not for you. The prophetic is for all of God's children. So we wake up in the morning. One of the first things I ask them is, did you have a dream last night? What was the dream? We sit there. I listen to their dreams. God has sent our family so many important messages through dreams. I can't tell you. The fact that I'm up here sharing with you, all of this has been shown to me in dreams. I found a dream. I write all my dreams. I have a dream journal. Jennifer and I, we teach a dream interpretation boot camp. It's all scripturally based. And I keep a dream journal. I found a dream journal from 2006 the other day, and I thought, oh, good. Let me go over some of my 2006 dreams and dreams that came to me in the night. And as I went through that, I kid you not, Pastor Marty, 60% of what was in that book, we've already implemented in our ministry. So a lot of what God, when you go to sleep at night, prophetic believers, it's like going into a gold mine. You wake up in the morning with riches from the revelatory realm. I'll tell you, it is awesome. You can hear from God while you're awake, and you can hear from God while you are asleep. I mean, how cool is that? It doesn't get any better than that. But it takes training and exercising to get there. So very quickly, I want to give you a list of the gifts of the Spirit. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's define this power you have. You can read them later. They're listed in 1 Corinthians 12, but I'm going to break them down to you in three categories. One, the verbal gifts, the utterance gifts. There are three gifts that when they manifest in your life, the Holy Spirit is speaking through you to others. We have the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. That's a powerful gift. I don't have time to even get into all the facets of that gift. But let me just put it to you this way. One of the ways that God can speak to people is he can give you a tongue to be spoken, a message encoded in another language that needs to be interpreted. And when that happens, we need the next utterance gift, the second one. It's called the gift of interpretation of tongues. Has anyone here ever seen a tongue and an interpretation of a tongue? That still happens today. As a matter of fact, I've heard testimonies of someone speaking in a tongue and someone in the room being a native speaker of that tongue, hearing the word of the Lord directly to them. I was a guest speaker at a Spanish church, and just before they introduced me to come up to speak, the pastor turned around and began to speak in a tongue in a Spanish church. And while he was speaking in a tongue, it's like I heard him clearly. So he said, and now with us, he finished speaking in tongues. He goes, now, Brother Hector. And I said, let me tell you what the Lord just spoke through that tongue. And I was able to bring the interpretation. Sometimes the tongue speaker will have the interpretation. Sometimes someone else will have it. It doesn't matter. God is creative. But there's a message that's given and interpreted with the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, it's important that as we operate in this gift, we don't interrupt a service unless we know how to use this gift. It takes exercising to know how to use it with finesse. But in the house of the Lord, we can get to a place where all of this is active, decently, and in order. The other utterance gift is prophecy, hearing the voice of God for others and speaking an encouraging word to others. Prophecy is not God says he's going to kill you. That's not prophecy. Prophecy is not God hates your guts. That's not prophecy. Prophecy is not, God says your shirt doesn't match your tie and it never does. That's not prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 says, therefore, he who prophesies speaks unto men for edification, exhortation, comfort. It never says use prophecy and slap them in the face. Use prophecy and tell them that their breath stinks. Use prophecy and tell them that their children are ugly. That's not what prophecy is. The problem is many times people have had an opinion, then they add, thus says the Lord to it. That's not prophecy. Prophecy has to bring edification. It has to build you up. It has to encourage you. It exhorts. It does challenge you in a good way to help move you forward. And it comforts. How many people need comforting? There are a lot of people in pain in the world today, and a prophetic word will comfort, bring a comforting word from God. Prophecy is awesome. It's a gift that brings healing and restoration to people. Those are the three utterance gifts. There's three revelatory gifts. Now, these three gifts are cool. When they manifest, God reveals to you by his Spirit something you didn't know of in the natural. You following with me? Everybody with me? Don't fall asleep. Don't worry about what's on TV. This is good stuff. Word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a gift that when it manifests, the Holy Ghost reveals to us by his Spirit something about a person, place, or thing, about their present or past that we didn't know. There's no way you knew it in the natural. God just gave it to you. He doesn't give us this. He doesn't reveal these things so we can brag. Oh, yeah, God showed me your social security number. Is it 123? No. God always reveals for a purpose, for a ministry opportunity to bless someone. A man came up in my prayer line. His wife was all open and smiley, and he stood in front of me. You don't need to be a prophet to know what that means. I mean, it's like, all right, get this over, buddy. And I said, you know, I couldn't hear it. It's like God wasn't speaking to me for him. I said, Lord, what are you saying to this man? And suddenly the Lord gave me a vision. And I saw he had a roadmap folded in his back pocket. I said, you have a roadmap in your back pocket. I couldn't tell. He was facing me. But he goes, and he begins to cry. And all of a sudden, the man who was like this changed, and now he's crying. And I said, and thus says the Lord to you. And I began to prophesy, and all the word of the Lord to me came very easily after that. And the Lord spoke to me and said, a word of knowledge will let somebody know God knows you. A word of knowledge will crack open a hard heart. And once that hard heart opens, you can move in with the ministry of the word. We need the gift of word of knowledge. It's powerful. If you like doing street evangelism, oh, take the word of knowledge with you. That doesn't, it's, without word of knowledge, we're just doing this. Here, hi, you can have this literature, read it. Nothing wrong with that. God will use it. But a word of knowledge says, hi, can I pray? You know what God's showing me about you? And they'll say, how do you know this? And they'll know that there's a living God. We need to incorporate the gifts of the Spirit on the street. We were fueling up at a gas station. I said, $20 on pump 4. And the Lord said, the lady behind you, tell her this. And I says, I saw you and I'm a minister in the air. And the Lord says that there's a special gift he's bringing you this year. It's from him. And she starts crying. And the cashier says, she's going to be a grandmother for the first time. I said, well, the Lord wants you to know that's a gift from him. And it's going to bless you. She goes, I'm going to be a grandmother for the first time. She was so touched. I said, God bless you. And I turned to leave. And as I was exiting the convenience store, the cashier says, hey, what about me? People are hungry. They want to hear from God. We got magicians walking the street doing all those dumb tricks. And everyone said, ooh, ah. When we have the word of life, we got the voice of the Holy Ghost on the inside. Take the anointing, exercise your prophetic anointing and take it and speak a word of the Lord to those in darkness. The gift of word of wisdom is the gift where God reveals to you by his Spirit something now in the present or for the future by the Spirit of the Lord for God's wisdom. It's a gift that brings God's wisdom in a situation. So word of knowledge has no application. But word of wisdom does. God will tell you what to do in a situation with his wisdom. Now, let me tell you, when God tells you what to do with his wisdom, you've got victory. You've got victory right there. So the word of wisdom, God will supernaturally reveal to you, do this in this circumstance and you'll get the victory. Or when he says to you, in 5 years, I'm going to have you do this. I'm sending you to China or I'm doing this. That's the word of wisdom. Many people think when you prophesy ahead in future tense that it's prophecy. It's actually a word of wisdom manifesting. When the prophet Agabus came and says, the Lord says, this is what they're going to do with the man. And he took Paul's belt and he tied himself up. This is what they're going to do with the man's belt. They're going to do this and that. That was the word of wisdom. He was forewarning what was going to happen in the future by the Spirit of the Lord. The other revelatory gift is the gift of discerning of spirits. This is the gift where God, how many senses do we have in the natural? When any one of those senses are activated so that we could discern if something operating as evil or good, that's when the gift of discerning of spirits is an activation. We need this gift active in the church. There's a lot of false teachers, false prophets, false things going on. But when we operate in a discerning anointing, we move by the Spirit of God and we can discern accurately. And then the final three gifts, final but not least, are the power gifts. Phyllis, come on up here, and Jennifer and Barbie. Would you? Yeah. The power gifts. The power gifts, the gift of faith. It's not just faith in Jesus. It's mountain-moving faith. I've heard testimonies that when this gift operates, the person through which this gift operates, they start laughing. I heard someone in Bill Johnson's school say that they brought a lady who was all bent over for prayer. She stood in front of him, and he said the gift of faith kicked in, and he began to laugh. And they're looking at him going, man, this woman's bent over, and you're laughing? And they got her out of his presence the same way, but all he could do was laugh. He saw her healed. Sure enough, she came in straight the next day. When this gift operates, it doesn't matter how big the mountain is, you've got the victory. There's the gifts of healing. What do you notice about the name of that gift? Gifts of healing. Look it in your Bible. There's more than one. Gifts of healing. There are sicknesses, and God wants to give you an authority over certain sicknesses. God will give a person, we're all called to pray and believe God for healing. But there's a gift, there's an anointing. For those who press in more, I believe God will give you more. And then finally, the working of miracles. Now, a healing, God heals. Someone was sick, someone had something, a disease or something, God healed it. The gift of working of miracles, God has to make, go beyond just a healing. God equals arms. He equals the length of legs. God will fill someone's cavities with gold, and he'll cause the blind to see. And it's beyond just a healing. It's the miraculous. We have that anointing in us as well. So what I'd like to do with all that tonight, why did you share all that? I shared that with you so that you'll just have a little glimpse of the anointing that's in you. And when you hear that, you think, you're not going to buy it at a book table. You can't get it from anyone. You only get it from God. And the good news is you've got it already because you have the Holy Ghost. How do I get there? How do I stir up an anointing? Hector, how do I get to a place where I can be effective in ministry? You've got to go to the gym. You've got to exercise. You like my weight? My dumbbell? That's what I'm doing, by the way. I didn't want to do crunches, so. We got to go to the gym. So the word of the Lord to you tonight is, the anointing I've put on you is rich. It's valuable. It's awesome. But until you decide to fine-tune it, to develop it, it will stay in potential form. Potential can stay potential. You don't have to develop potential. Oh, you've got great potential. I've got so many words that I have awesome potential on my life. But the bad news with potential is potential can stay just that. And 20 years down the road, you can still have a bunch of potential on you. I don't want to just have potential. I want to have that potential developed into skill, into ability, into mobility. Life is short. Jesus is coming back soon. We've got a work to do. We've got a ministry to fulfill. So the season of just being excited that I have potential, that's over. We have to go after. We have to be intentional to develop the anointing that God has put on our lives. And the Holy Spirit, as soon as you step out, he's going to meet you there. And when you step out again, he's going to meet you there. And when you step out again, he's going to meet you there. And he'll meet you at every step that you take and every effort you make. God is going to meet you there to help you develop your anointing in his name to make you a powerful vessel in the hands of the Lord. Can the church say amen? We're just going to prophesy over some of you tonight as the Lord gives us utterance. Praise the Lord. So Father, we thank you. I just declare that over everyone tonight. I declare a new hunger. I declare eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand all that you have for us. And a new hunger, as Pastor Marty was saying, Lord, make us hungry. Where we've grown satiated, Lord, we repent. Help us get hungry again to develop this anointing in Jesus' name. Man of God, would you stand up? Yes, you. I'm looking right at you. For I hear the Lord saying, it was like an assignment coming around you, just driving around you, walking around you. I see this, just there was a demonic assignment where the enemy said, send something and knock them down quick. But God says, I've seen that even before he sent it your way. And the Lord says, son, I told you to put your faith in me and I will not let you down. And the Lord says, every time you've taken a step towards me, I've taken one towards you. And the Lord says, I will keep you, says the Lord. And even now, that circumstance that the enemy's tried to put around you to discourage you, to cause you to go back into old things, God says, I'm going to keep you from it. I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to unravel the work of the enemy. I'm going to unhook the work of the enemy. I'm going to unhook it. For the enemy says, get in there and hook them again. God says, I'm going to unhook it. So keep looking to me and trust me. For God says, I will keep you. And you know, the Lord is breaking. This is a season of God is just breaking things off. It's like I saw a mold made of your body, but all of a sudden it burst forth and you stepped out. The Lord says, I'm breaking you out of old patterns, old behaviors, old thinkings, old things that dominated who you were in the past. That is not who you are today, says the Lord. For I've made you a new man and you're stepping out into the light, says the Lord. So don't be discouraged. It's a season of ouch. It's a season of, yes, discipling is going to hurt some. But God says, God says, I'm forming the image of my son in you. I'm forming the image of Jesus in you. I'm forming it in you. And you are going to shine the glory of the Lord. And even some things in your possession, I hear God saying, I see you at a trash can and you're just going to start throwing stuff out. Stuff from the past, stuff in your possession. I have no business with this anymore. God says, you're going to erase messages. You're going to get rid of stuff. You're going to clean house. And I hear God saying, I'm cleaning stuff out, says the Lord. We speak it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay, there I am. The gentleman who's right next to the gentleman who just got prophesied for. It's okay if I pray over you. What's your name? Jeff. Jeff, I'm just hearing like the Lord saying he's not forgotten you and he's not overlooked you. I feel like this is your time for training. This is your time for stepping out. I feel like you've had some questions and God says the time. He said, I'm answering all your questions. I feel like I just see you stepping out almost like in a military march ahead. And God says that he's just going to keep promoting you forward and forward and forward and forward. So don't hold back. I feel like there's been something in your spirit, maybe just some unsurety. And God says, as you step forward, he's going to show himself faithful. I also feel like I just see like there's a place in ministry for you. Like it's the place is waiting for you. It's just waiting. So get the training, get what you need. And God says, don't worry, the place is going to be there. He's already planned it out, portioned it out, and given you everything you need to move forward in the things of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, this lady back here in the green, blonde, yes, what was your name? Robin. Is it okay if I minister to you? Robin, I just sense that you have a real gift of encouragement on your life. I just see even the word love over you, that you just really are one that carries love. And it's like I see even a picture of you at a table writing out little notes and cards and things like of encouragement to people, and that it's a real gift to the body of Christ. And I just feel like the Lord is saying that you're in a season where you're going to rescue people out of darkness. I just see you really rescuing people. And I saw a picture of you with a fishing pole. And I felt like the Lord said it's time to get rid of the fishing pole because he's going to put a net in your hand, that it's not just a single catch that he has for you, but there's just like the multitudes really because of the love that you carry. You really carry a love from the Lord and it's going to rescue people out of darkness.
The man in the yellow with the tie, may I minister to you? What is your name?
Daryl.
Daryl. When I asked God to highlight someone to me, he highlighted you to me, and I keep hearing you're a friend of God. You're a friend of God, and you're a friend to many. And it has been a season where you've been a little bit isolated, a little bit hidden, but the Lord is going to be highlighting you. Just much like your outfit today, God's going to be highlighting you even the more. Wherever you go, Home Depot, Lowe's, wherever you go, you're going to be highlighted because you're a friend of God. And people are going to just kind of like a magnet. People are just going to like come around you or say good morning or look you square in the eyes. But it's going to be the anointing of that friendship that you have with the Lord that they're attracted to. And that's going to be your inroad to break that yoke that we were talking about earlier.
That's good. I want to layer on that, and I want to say that God is breaking something like a weight off of your shoulders, and God is breaking a heaviness from off of you, a condemnation that has tried to land on your shoulders. And God says, I'm breaking off the voice that would speak in your ear to bring condemnation against you. God says, I'm bringing you into a new beginning. Don't look back anymore. Forward, says God, for I've got the best for you up ahead, says the Lord. Now, my friends here, George and Kathy, I know this couple. God bless you. It's good to see you. But as we were prophesying, I saw a vision over you, and I saw eggs hatching. I saw eggs hatching. And I hear the Lord saying there have been many promises that you've nurtured. You've kind of like a hen would sit over her eggs and just nurture them and wait for the right timing. You've been waiting for the right timing. But suddenly you're going to hear the cracking of the egg. And I hear God saying it's that season where suddenly there's an emerging coming forward. There's a gushing coming forward. And also on a play on words kind of thing, I hear the Lord saying, I'm watching over your nest egg. And I hear God saying, I'm going to multiply it and then multiply it and then multiply it again. So there's a threefold anointing on that nest egg, says the Lord. Watch and see how I'm going to open that up, says the Lord. And God says, you're not done with traveling either. I'm taking you to Florida. I'm opening up a door for you over there. God says, I'm connecting you, and you'll see how I'm connecting you with the right men in the right time. This is the hour where the Lord says, I'm launching you forward.
Jesus, yes. And just to layer on that, I want to go to Florida too, so don't forget. Kathy and George, we're like kindred spirits as far as speed. We love speed. We love adventure. We love to be spontaneous. But I sense that even in that spontaneity and even in that speed, that the Lord wants you to just kind of like, I saw you guys like moving fast, but at the same time, you know those special effects that they do in Hollywood now where they kind of slow down the action scenes. I see that the Lord is going to be giving you guys like timely moments where you're going to slow down just a tad to see what he's doing. Within that speed, within that acceleration, there's going to be things that he's going to want to show you or use your five senses. There's going to be something that he's going to show you as you venture out and as you enjoy life.
The gentleman, he's got an orange shirt on back there. You're way in the back. You have glasses. Do you know who you are? Yep, that's you. Is it okay if I minister to you? Yeah. I just feel like as I looked at you, the Lord highlighted man of courage. And I feel like God wants you to understand that that's how he sees you. I feel like tonight he just wants you to totally revamp how you think about yourself. And I feel like you've been in some situations, especially with your family, that have just been very complex and very troubling at times. But God says, in the midst of that, I have seen you as a man of courage. And he hasn't punished you, but he's used you in the midst of your family. I feel like he set you as a pillar in your family to be a testimony to him. And so I feel like God's just saying, don't give up. He's going to walk with you all the way through, all the way through. So don't give up. And I feel like you're also somebody in your family. I just feel like that phrase just keeps coming back to me. In your family, you're a light. In your family, you're a strength. In your family, you're a tower. And so God says, that's what a man of courage is. That's a man who sticks in and stays there. He said, that's what a man is. And so I just feel like God says, I'm blessing you tonight. He's blessing your family. There's some in your family that have gone astray, and God says, I'm bringing them back. I even feel like there's been prayers that you've offered up for some people in your family who are really close to you, and God says, they might look like they're away now, but I'm bringing them back. I'm bringing them into the fold, and you're just going to see a period of increase in your family, in Jesus' name.
This man right here, you're like the third row, back of the blue. Yes. What was your name? Dale? Dan. Sorry. Dan, is it okay if I minister to you? Dan, I just sense that you really carry peace. It's like I see peace over your life, and that's something that the Lord has really imparted in you. It's something you've had to learn to operate in, and I feel like that's something that you impart to others, that people come around you, and it's like you have this calming spirit about you, and you're able to just bring just peace into situations. And I also see along with that, it's like you're walking, and I feel like you're leaving like this trail behind you of salt, and I feel like the way that you live your life, you're really leaving it for people to become thirsty for the Lord and to want what you have, that you really are leaving behind and living your life in such a manner that that people want what you have and they become thirsty for the Lord. It's like you're salting the way for them just in the way that you live your life. And I feel like the Lord is really going to give you some open doors with finances and with sales. I don't know if you work in sales or something, but I just kept hearing salesman over you. So I just feel like the Lord is saying that he's really going to open up and give you favor. It's like he's rolling out the red carpet for you, and you're really going to have favor in the area of sales.
This gentleman over here, you're way over on that side. You have the gray with the white stripe. Yeah, yeah, that's me. Bless, brother. I just hear the Lord saying that you're a very black and white person, no nonsense person. You just like to be up front and to the point. And I hear the Lord saying he's created you that way. He smiles over you more than you even realize. The Lord delights over you more than you realize. And I just hear the Lord saying, that's my son. That's my son. I love my son. I love him. And I hear the Lord saying, as a father to you, as you understand fathership, fatherhood, you understand that. But the Lord says that you understand him because you understand fatherhood, and his heart for you is his son. So therefore, what he showed me was a vision of you. You were going, you were gathering your fishing gear. You were so excited about that. You were on your way to go do that. But it was like a father-son trip. I hear the Lord saying, I'm ministering to your life as a father this season. So watch and see how God is just going to set you up. The message for you this season is listen to the fathering of the Lord, for there's a counsel that he has for you. There's a time that God wants to spend with you. There's love that God wants to pour on you. So I just want to say to you, man of God, just be prepared and be aware of what God is doing over your life. He's fathering you from heaven because he loves you that much. He just wanted you to know that. So I speak that to you in Jesus' name.
There's a lady with a green scarf. May I minister to you in your name? Holly. Holly, I just sense that the Lord is going to be changing your speech within the next season here. As you choose to walk it out like exercise, that he's going to be changing your speech, and where you're going to find yourself declaring the word even the more. And it's going to be like, what is it, second nature? I see you even making that conscientious effort every day, and every choice and every decision. God's going to give you, because there's a verse for every single thing that we go through in life, is there not? And that's why they call it the living word of God. It's life. And I just see you speaking life into your circumstances, speaking life into your friendship, even speaking life to yourself as you're brushing your teeth. I see you speaking, Holly, you know, we're going to do this. We're, I love you. And, you know, and God loves me. And I just see you speaking life.
Okay, so thank you. I can't get over how time flies. Thank you, team. God bless you. And just very quickly, there's a... this couple right here. And would you stand up? Are you married? No, you're not. Okay, so I'm going to minister over you as individuals. Okay? So what's your name? Julio. Hey. Julio, Hector. What's up, man? Julio, I just hear the Lord speaking over you that all those words that you heard growing up about you are not true. All the words that you heard about who you are, your identity, is not true. For God says that there have been some evil words spoken over you that were from the pit of hell, that were not his words for you at all. And I see that there have been seasons of your life where you've even been upset with the Lord. You've been upset with him, thinking that God set that up and that he thinks of you that way, that he's put that in you, and that he set you up for failure. That's not true. Tonight, I speak to you that God says to you, I've created you for success. I've created you to be a man of encouragement. I've created you to be the man that you've desired to be. that man that you said, I've always wanted to be this and I've always kind of not been able to do it. God says, I'm breaking you out of that place and I'm bringing you into a place to realize my heart for you. God says, I love you and I'm setting you now in a place where God says there's going to be more men that are going to speak life to you. That's a gift from the Lord for you this season. God says you will have ears to hear the truth this season, and it's a season of truth of who you are. God says, I'm going to set you free of who you thought you were, and I'm bringing you into the truth of who you really are. You're going to be shocked, Julio. You're going to be shocked at who God says you are, for he was never against you in the first place. God says, I am for you. I am for you, says the Lord. And God says, I'm breaking off an orphan spirit, and I'm breaking off things that were on you that made you felt like you never belonged. God says, that didn't come from me. I'm breaking it off of you. I accept you and embrace you. And God says, and I'm going to bring some of my servants in your life to speak life into you. And the Lord says to you that if you would yield to what he's doing 3 years from now, you're going to see a huge transformation. You're going to look back and say, let me tell you about the time this brother with the same Hispanic name gave me a word. Let me tell you what God did. So tonight is an opportunity for you, Julio. The Lord says you're leaving here with news about who you are. Good news. To cause you to be successful in the future, says the Lord. If you take this opportunity, God is going to do his part to break you out of the miry clay and into a place of promise, says the Lord. Now, brothers in the Lord, how many of you heard that challenge? The Lord is calling some of us to speak life. There's a challenge there. See, that's an awesome word to Brother Julio, but it's a word to the church. What's your name? Andrea. Lord, I thank you for Andrea. Andrea, you've been a cheerleader. You've been one that you've just helped people along so much. You've given some more. Your car has been given. I just see that you've just been giving and giving and giving. And God says, daughter, everything, it's in the books. It's in the books. It's noted in heaven. It's noted in heaven. Nothing goes by my sight. Absolutely nothing. And God says, therefore, I say to you that this is the day where I'm bringing a healing to your heart. God says, this is a day where I'm bringing a deliverance in your heart. God says, you're going to emerge with a new strength. For you've been one. You've desired, but then you've been afraid of success. You've desired, but then you've backed away from success. God says, I'm on your side, and I'm going to show you that with me on your side, you can do it. And God says, I'm going to cause you to go forth, and you're going to emerge. Have you heard words about going to other nations? You have. Well, get ready, because you're going to go, says the Lord. I'm going to send you, and you are going to take my word. That anointing's on your life, and he's on your side. When God's for you, who can be against you? I bless you too in Jesus' name. Isn't he good? Thank you, Julio. Thank you for letting me prophesy over you. It was a privilege. Phyllis, thank you. I want to say a prayer of declaration over you. My sister who made it tonight tried 3 times before we couldn't make it. What's your name? So, Linda, you're not alone. You're not alone. Life has tried to tell you you're alone, but you're not. For there's one who watches over you. There's one who's with you. And you walked in with someone who is tall, strong, and powerful. The Lord says, I have my servant watching over you. I have angels watching over you. God says, you are not alone. And I see you making a sandwich in the kitchen. Why a sandwich? I don't know. But I see you making a sandwich in the kitchen, and a good-looking sandwich, by the way. And the Lord is just there smiling over you. And I see you going about your business during the day, and God is smiling over you. The Lord says, you are not alone. I am with you. And this is a season to not just sense the presence of the Lord, but to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that God is with you, says the Lord. And he's breaking off He's doing a work in your family. He's doing healing in your family. He's doing a restorative healing. There's forgiveness that's about to emerge. There's some forgiveness. God says years and years of holding stuff. God says he's about to break through an assignment that the enemy put there to kill this family. But God says, I'm bringing forth a new work this hour, says the Lord. We speak it in Jesus' name. That's the word of the Lord for you. I speak dreams from heaven over your life. The voice of the Lord in the night season. So, Father, I thank you tonight. Raise your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you that we're all your sons. We're your children. We're your daughters, Lord. We're your family. We're yours, God. As we were singing tonight, we give our lives to you. Not just to sing it, but God, we give our lives to you. And the anointing you've put on our lives, Lord, we say, teach us how to exercise that anointing. Send us to the gym and teach us how to develop the anointing so that we are effective in your work, effective in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Father, so that when we get to heaven, we could hear those words saying, well done. We put ourselves in your hands and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And the church says, you better get excited. The church says, now the Holy Ghost gets involved to help us develop the anointing. Amen. It's an exciting time. It's the end times, but it's exciting for us because God has great plans for us. I bless you in Jesus' name. City Church, I bless you in Jesus' name. May you expand. May you go forth with power and might. May God add to your numbers and may God continue to increase your boldness to speak the truth with boldness right here in this region in Jesus' name. Pastor Marty.
Amen. Come on. Can you give Jesus a great hand of praise tonight? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say exercise. Come on, say it like you mean it. I know some of you don't like me talking that way. Say it with me. Say exercise. You gotta use what God has given to you, and you have to use the Word of God to get on the pathway that He has called you to. There's one thing that I love how Hector ministers. Just because it's spoken over you, you have a responsibility to open up your life to let God now begin to work in you. You just can't sit there. I'd love to meet my sister making the great sandwich, but if all of I did, you can't just sit there and eat the sandwich and think the weight's going to go away. Come on, somebody. You got to exercise. You got to work that thing. I want to get some t-shirts made. Say, work that thing. Aaron's over there. No, don't do that. Must mean something that I don't know, but to him that's pure, all things are pure. Amen. Now, I want you to do one more thing before you leave tonight. I know Hector brought some books. I called up and I said, bring a couple cases. His precious wife says, Pastor Marty, I don't think we have that many. I don't want him to leave with one book tonight. Buy them all. Hand them out. Bless them. Encourage them. Hug them before you leave. And hug somebody else before you leave tonight, okay? Father, I declare blessing, life, and love over my family, my brothers and my sisters tonight. Whatsoever things they lay their hands to, may you bless it. Blessing be upon them when they're lying down, when they're rising up, when they walk in the way, I pray in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said amen. I love you so much. Hug somebody before you leave God's house tonight. Tell them it was great to see him in church tonight.